Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into here on a Thursday, so let's not waste any time. Let's head out and bring in from the Sporting Tribune, Grant Mona. Grant, how are you?
Doing well. The draft is upon us. Yep. Playoff basketball is upon us. The NHL playoffs are upon us. A lot of things going on, Arash.
No doubt about that. It's one of the unique things about our show is that we're on a little bit earlier in Hawaii, a little bit later in Southern California and Vegas. So don't want to hammer the draft too much because it may have already happened depending on where you are. But Caleb Williams is expected to be the number one pick in the draft, taken by the Chicago Bears. I want to get into the NBA playoffs. But I did want to start off with this one just because you've followed this guy's career from the beginning, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And we really saw why he is one of the favorites. Obviously, he is a finalist to be the most valuable player this year. When you saw the Oklahoma City Thunder blow out the New Orleans Pelicans last night to take a 2-0 series lead there. What are your thoughts on his progression? Again, I mean, he would not have progressed this far, quite frankly, if he was on the Clippers. That's just a fact, folks. If he is on a team with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, he's not able to be the guy. He's not able to be the most valuable player. I mean, maybe we could have seen glimpses of that during the season when Kawhi was out and Paul George was out. But still, like, it would have been hard for him to develop into the superstar and a finalist for the most valuable player if he had stayed with the Clippers. Because, again, I think that's the number one thing when Clippers look at that trade for Paul George. It's yes, the number of draft picks. But the fact of the matter is that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was a part of that. Your thoughts watching his progression since his first season with the Clippers to now?
It hurts a lot just because, his rookie season with the Clippers, you know, all of us Clipper fans were so excited about his, you know, kind of burst onto the scene type of play, right? In the playoffs against the Warriors, he was very integral to that, you know, pushing them to the six games that they did. The future was really bright. Clipper fans adored him, you know, just by the way he played in his rookie year. Like, the Clipper fans only saw him for about three quarters of the year because Doc Rivers didn't really play him as much as he did in that first kind of 25 games. So his progression that last three quarters of the season was something special and something that I will never forget. I mean, his ability to perform against Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson at the peak of their powers in the first round of a playoff series in your rookie year, that just goes to show like how good he was back then and now how good he is now. I mean, I know you make the trade for Paul George, you make the trade for essentially Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Like, I think every team would have done that. Like, I know that people in hindsight say, oh, well, why did you do it? You gave up all these picks. When you get two top 10 guys in one trade, you have to make that trade. It just hurts that Shai had to be the one to go because, you know, there's a lot of talk about if Shai would have just, or if Kawhi would have said, hey, I'll sign with you guys, but I don't really need anybody else. I'll just roll with Shai and whatever you got right now. There's a lot of talk about if that was the right decision. Look, in hindsight, it's easy to say that. But to see Shai right now in his first full playoff series with a home crowd, because obviously he played in the bubble in the playoffs with Chris Paul, but that's not really the same. This is his first full playoffs with a home crowd and him being the main guy. Yeah. I'm not surprised by this just because Shai has been so phenomenal over the course of this season. reason. There's a reason, like you said, Arash, that he's in the MVP conversation. There's a reason why he's ranked as a top 10 player in this league. There's a reason why he's up for clutch player of the year almost every year. This guy has not just the intangibles physically, but mentally. He wants the ball in clutch moments. He wants the ball when they're down. He wants this team to win. There's a reason he signed a big contract extension. I guess you could say every player would probably do that at his age, but there's a reason why he's stuck with the Thunder and why he wants to be a part of the Thunder's future is because he loves to win and he knows that this core can win. And look at what they're doing. Nobody thought that the Thunder would be a one seed, and he's a big reason why. In these first two games, look, in game one, he kind of took over down the stretch, just like he did in the regular season. I mean, the Pelicans were threatening to kind of steal a game one on the road, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander just said, no, we're not letting that happen today. In game two, it was just a bunch of him and the role players. Look, there's a lot of talk about the Thunder's size and the rebounding, and they don't have a really true center. I know Chet Holmgren's there, but they don't really have a bruiser down low. And it doesn't seem to matter for this Thunder team. I mean, I think people just forget how good this team is. Yes, they're very young. It's the youngest one seed in NBA history. But there is a reason why they won 50-plus games this year. It wasn't a fluke. This is a very good team, and it's led by SGA. But the supplemental pieces for that Thunder team, I think, are just so crucial to their success. Kayson Wallace is a rookie, and he was at the top five of three-point percentage this year. Chet Holmgren is his first full year as a rookie. Obviously, he broke his foot last year. He's been phenomenal, not just offensively, but defensively. So for this team, and especially led by SGA, they're not a fluke. Them and the Timberwolves, they're really good. They are really good basketball teams, and you know, if we forward to the next round and it's Nuggets Timberwolves, I mean, I can't wait to see that, because I think the Timberwolves will win the series and I think the Nuggets will win their series. Yeah. So to see those two matched up now a year later with the Wolves having a lot more confidence, obviously they're a better team this year. That could be a showdown for the ages. And OKC, if they play Dallas or the Clippers, that could also be a series for the ages. So we got a lot going on.
To your point, I think a lot of people think Denver is going to win this series against the Lakers after they came back from 20 points down in the second half to win game two. First ever buzzer beater, last second game winner in Denver Nuggets history. First time that the Lakers have lost in that fashion in the postseason since 1986. That game three is tonight. I think we are both in agreement that if the Lakers don't win this game tonight, that they'll probably get swept. And I say that because when you've lost the first two games in the fashion that the Lakers have, you blow a 12-point first half lead in game one, you blow a 20-point second half lead in game two. And I say that to say that that means that they've played well, that for three quarters in the first two games, and really not even the full three quarters, but I mean, one of the most glaring problems is the way that this Lakers team has played in the second half of these games. And again, you can point the finger at the Darvin Ham, and a lot of Laker fans have Michael Malone, and generally coaches don't go after each other. So I don't know if he meant this as a knock to Darvin Ham, but someone asked him about like adjustments and whatever. And he basically said, yeah, I mean, we have adjustments in our back pockets, but we haven't had to use them. So essentially to say, like we're not going up against a team that like that is that well coached. Grant, what's your thoughts on this series? I mean, my pre-series prediction was Denver in five. And again, that's me as someone who's hoping that the Lakers can find a way to do it. But I did see this series playing out like this, where the Lakers would be competitive, where they would have a lead at some point, where they would play well. Again, people have to remember, yes, they got swept in the Western Conference Finals a year ago. That being said, they came back from 20 down to come this close to winning game one. They had the lead in the fourth quarter of games two, three, and four. At the end of the day, they lost all those games. So, you know, we may once again be here if they get swept again, saying they had a 12-point lead in game one, they had a 20-point lead in game two, they had this lead in game three, this lead in game four. That's all well and good. At the end of the day, if you lose, and that's it. So I am predicting that the Lakers will find a way to win one of these two in Los Angeles. I do have to admit, though, that game has to be tonight, because I cannot imagine what the mindset is, not only for the Lakers players, but the fans. I mean, that is going to be a dead crowd on Saturday. If the Lakers are down 0-3 in this series, and it's basically just a done deal, you know, and again, at that point, that they will have lost 11 straight to this team. Your thoughts? Do we get a sweep? Do we get a gentleman's sweep? What's your thoughts on this series?
I think the Lakers are going to win tonight.
All right.
There we go. I think they're winning game three, just because of how it ended in game two. They've been close in the first two games. I never thought that the Lakers would get blown out in any of these games. I always thought that they'd be pretty competitive. My prediction was Nuggets in six.
Yeah.
And Arash, I think this series could go kind of like the Clippers versus Suns in the Western Conference Finals in 2021. If we remember that series, game one, the Suns won it kind of handily. They kind of pulled away at the end. Game two was the heartbreaker where it was the DeAndre Ayton alley-oop. So the Clippers were down 2-0, and everyone's like, this series is over. Game three, the Clippers come out, and Paul George wins game three, so it's 2-1. Game four is just a dogfight, and the Suns win that one, and they go up 3-1. Then we go back to Phoenix, and Paul George pulls one out. He has 41 points, and they win game five. And they go back game six, and they get blown out. Now, I'm not saying that this could happen. I'm just saying that the trajectory so far has reminded me of that series. And just in terms of the talent disparity, it's kind of close. I still think the Lakers could get two. I'm sticking with my pick. I think the Lakers can get two of them. Now, I don't know if that will be two in a row. I doubt it that it'll be two in a row here in L.A., I do think they'll win game three. I think they'll come out with a lot of fire. I think they'll close the deal. Look, anytime you have the home crowd, and I know that they're kind of out of it more than they would be if it was a 1-1 series, but that Laker crowd shows up in the playoffs. Like, the Lakers home crowd is one of the best in the league in the playoffs. So I know that the Lakers play great at home and they love that home crowd, especially D'Angelo Russell. He loves playing in front of that home crowd. So if they can get a good game from him, if they can get a good game again from Anthony Davis, maybe go to him a little bit more in game three down the stretch, as opposed to last game, I think they can pull one out. Now, look, I still don't think they're going to win the series, but I think that the Lakers have been competitive enough to win two games. It just hasn't gone their way in the first two. I mean, if you look at the last two games, they could have won each of those games. They could have. And I know we always say could have, would have, should have, but you know, it's not like they're getting blown out in any of these games, Arash. So it wouldn't surprise me that they win tonight or maybe even win a game five if they're down 3-1. You know, I wouldn't be surprised by that.
Yeah, and listen, and at the end of the day, this is what we say in boxing, they got a puncher's chance. When you got LeBron James, when you got Anthony Davis, despite where they are right now in terms of being down 0-2 in the series, they have a puncher's chance. And again, they didn't close out, which was a story a year ago, but they did have a 12-point lead in game one. They did have a 20-point lead in game two. They can take a lead. So it's again, to your point, not like they're getting blown out. We don't do a ton of hockey coverage, but we kind of have to cover what happened last night. The defending Stanley Cup champions did not look like they would have a long run here in the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Vegas Golden Knights were the eighth seed. They drew the top seed at the Dallas Stars. Again, the Stars was, you know, they played the Dallas Stars in the Western Conference Finals a year ago. Lo and behold, their captain, Mark Stone, comes back. It upset a lot of people because no one saw that coming. They are now 2-0 in the series, taking a 2-0 lead after winning the first two games in Dallas. They are going to go back to a raucous environment in Las Vegas for games three and four. And then the Los Angeles Kings, third playoffs that they're getting, the Edmonton Oilers, got blown out in game one, Grant, but found a way. And this was just a throwback of a night. It was Andre Kopitar with the game winner in overtime to give the Kings the win, tying up that series 1-1, bringing it back to Los Angeles. Your thoughts on, again, a very fun night in hockey.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because, you know, I did not expect the Knights to take two on the road in Dallas, especially I kind of compare it to the Lakers Nuggets series where Dallas is the Lakers in this situation where it's like, hey, they just beat us in the Western Conference Finals. Mm-hmm. We got to get up for this. And especially on your home ice, to lose two to a team that, look, I know they got Mark Stone back, but this is a team that scuffled a lot throughout the year. Defending champions usually don't repeat a lot. And obviously the Tampa Bay Lightning did a few years ago, but, you know, I just did not expect the Golden Knights to take two on the road. I expected maybe a split. And now you're going back to Vegas, where, like you mentioned, that is one of the best home crowds in all of the NHL. And I know that Vegas will be rocking for that. If Vegas can somehow upset, I mean, I know I say upset like it's a huge upset.
But it is.
It is the one seed
versus the eight. But to your point, it's the defending champions.
Yeah.
And they got Mark Stone back. And what I'm telling people is that totally changes the complexion of the series, right?
Right, yeah. Exactly. So in theory, it would be an upset, but I wouldn't be surprised if Vegas wins the series. And that would be fantastic for their run after this. Because if you knock off the one seed, you have kind of, it's not a clear path, but you have a better path.
Oh, yeah.
And in terms of the Kings, that, like you said, a throwback game to win an overtime in Edmonton to split that going back to LA again, something I did not expect, especially Anze Kopitar scoring the game-winning goal. I did not expect them to tie the series going back to LA. Now you kind of have home ice again. And both of these teams, the Knights and the Kings, both surprising starts for me. I expected Edmonton to kind of take care of home ice, and they didn't. So this is a huge opportunity for the Kings to capitalize on that. If you can even split at home, if you can even get one at home, I think that's pretty big for them going forward.
Yeah, and we know it's going to be a good series. Again, the Kings and the Edmonton Oilers, first time that they played in the postseason, that was a seven-game series. Last year was a six-game series. That really should have been seven. The Kings blew a big lead in that game six at home. So, again, I think it'll be another six- or seven-game series. Obviously, I'm hoping the Kings find a way to turn around their fortunes. Before we close out this segment, and again, we'll preview the game more tomorrow. Clippers-Mavs, speaking of what we think will be a classic six- or seven-game series, Mavs coming back in game two, tying up that series. I think we'll see a different Kawhi, though. Grant, I'm sure you're certainly hopeful of that. But they needed to get him back. And I think now that Kawhi's got that one game back under his belt, according to him, like that was his first contact. He did not go through a contact practice, which, you know, they don't love that. But, hey, listen, I mean, by the way, love that there's no team more, you know, conscious of really being protective of their player than the Clippers with Kawhi. So this was them and Kawhi saying, hey, listen, like, I'm healthy. It's the playoffs. Let's go. We'll see a different Kawhi again, I think, in game three. What do the Clippers have to do to win that game three? Because we both say, and again, we're not going out on a limb, when a series is tied 1-1, that game three is a very pivotal moment.
Yeah, they need to move the ball more. There's a lot of pounding the rock. There's a lot of isolation basketball. In game one, it was sharing the rock, passing the baton. You know, Terrence Mann was integral in that game one win. You know, Russell Westbrook was integral in that game one win. They seemed to share the ball a lot more in that game one. And in game two, when Kawhi was thrown back in the lineup, it was just like, hey, here, Kawhi, here's the ball. Go do your thing. And everyone was just standing and looking at him. Or, hey, James Harden, here's the ball. Do your thing. And there was not a lot of flow to the offense. The defense has been fantastic in both games. I'm not even worried about the defensive strategies that they've employed against Luka and Kyrie, and especially against their role players. I know that Luka and Kyrie are getting 30-plus, but if you look at their stat lines, they are very inefficient 30-plus. They're not, I mean, Luka was not good from the three. Kyrie was, I think, 8 of 18, really not that good. So if you can stop the others like they did in game one, that's the key to the rest of the series. Not just that, I'm not worried about them in a playoff environment on the road. Honestly, the Clippers played a little bit better on the road down the stretch of the regular season, which is crazy. They went into Phoenix and beat them by 20-some, or by double digits. It was 20-plus.
It was like 20, it was like 30. Like, I remember the texting. And again, you go into that game, no Kawhi, no James Harden. Again, listen, I think they won by 12 at the end, but they were up by like 27 or 30 points or something.
Right, exactly. So I'm not really worried about them going on the road in a playoff situation. They played well in playoffs past in Dallas. That's where Kawhi had his 45-point game six to extend the series in 21. And like you said, I expect Kawhi to be much better. There's a lot of talk about, oh, he's washed. Oh, Luka locked him up. He locked Harden up. I disagree with that. If you look at the stats, actually, Russell Westbrook defended Luka well. Terrence Mann has defended him well. So I'm just more worried about the offensive flow and the motion of it and the play calling as opposed to the defense. I think the defense is just fine. They're taking a lot of the role players out, which was what I was worried about coming in. So if they can weather the storm a little bit, play better on offense in Dallas, I'm really not worried about this series. Even if they split it, I'm perfectly content with that.
Yeah. I mean, and we'll talk about this more when we have you on the show tomorrow. I mean, I just love Ty Lue. And when you look at some of his play calls in game one and even in game two, I mean, you see the difference between Ty Lue and the Darvin Ham. Again, I didn't have a problem when the Lakers hired Frank Vogel. At the end of the day, he was their head coach when they won the championship in 2020. But I just remember at that time, you know, just thinking that the Lakers dropped the ball without hiring Ty Lue. And so again, Clipper fans have a love-hate relationship with Ty Lue, and we'll talk about that more tomorrow with you as we preview game three. But I think there's been times this season when they have not been healthy that Ty Lue shows you why he is, in my view, one of the best coaches still in the league. Greg, you're the best. We'll have you back on tomorrow. Let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll be joined by Brandon Deutsch, talking a little bit more about the Lakers, the draft, when we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still climb with the underground
when we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment, or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. Let's welcome to the show from the Sporting Tribune, Brandon Deutsch, G. Hay Wiley. Brandon, you know, and I mentioned this in the first segment, one of the, you know, cool things is we're on the air in Southern California, Las Vegas, Hawaii, but at different times. So if you're listening to this in Southern California or Vegas, the draft is already happening or may have already happened, but we already know who are going to be the top five picks in the draft. I wanted you to mention or really touch on, again, you've said this for quite some time, that Caleb Williams will be the best or most talented quarterback USC has had. And you said this prior to him, you know, being a quarterback at USC, and he goes on to win the Heisman and has the career that he has. He will be the first overall pick tonight in Detroit, going to the Chicago Bears. What makes Caleb Williams so special, and why do you think that his skill set will transfer to the pros?
I think there's a lot of things, and I'll get into all of them. The big downside of everything is, or not downside, but the biggest criticism of Caleb Williams has nothing to do with his game. It's that he paints his nails. That's what people keep saying on Twitter, and it's ridiculous, because if you can play football, you can play football. I mean, who cares what you're doing? Dennis Rodman was wearing dresses in the 80s, by the way, and he was able to win championships, right? Like,
yeah.
So it's like, none of that matters. If you can play, you can play. People should stop caring about that. That's the first thing I wanted to say to the listeners who may say, oh, he's going to be a bust because he's, quote, different. People hate anybody who's different. It's a wild concept. But on the football field, he said in an interview the other day, though his highlights are out of the pocket, right, because he makes these crazy plays, he is the one of the most accurate in the pocket passers in the draft. He can make things happen from all over the field. It's very rare we see someone with this much maturity in the way they see defenses and read defenses and can make plays at this age, right? So at the end of the day, I think that he has everything that you want from a franchise quarterback: athleticism, great arm, high IQ, can read defenses, make a multitude of plays, and can extend plays. And I really, you look at the all-time greats, like people compare him to Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes wasn't as good as Caleb Williams in college. He just wasn't. He wasn't even close, actually. And I'm not saying that means Caleb Williams is going to be better than Patrick Mahomes. A lot of it is offensive coordinator. We'll see. But he's in a great position to succeed and immediately, I think, becomes a top 12 quarterback in the National Football League.
I was with Jihei the night, and I hate to remind her, but I bring this as a precursor to a question. I was with her the night that the Cowboys traded up in front of the New York Giants to select Micah Parsons. We know the player he has turned out to be. That is to say, Jihei knows a thing or two about the draft herself. Jihei, who's a player that, again, won't be in the top five, or but that you really like in this draft?
You know what, Arash? There's a few wideouts out there. This wideout draft class is stellar. It's beyond stellar. So I'm looking forward to seeing where a lot of these kids go that have been, you know, have been shining, and maybe they haven't even been like, I don't think a lot of people are giving them their flowers or giving them their credit or giving them their due, because some of them have been hurt. Some of them have been, you know, some of them haven't been on people's radar. Maybe, I mean, I'm sure they're on people's draft boards and they're thinking about them, looking at them, but I'm definitely looking at this wideout class. No wideout in particular, just the wide receivers in general, and where they will get drafted. Brandon, I also wanted to say about Caleb, and I'm not knocking him. I think he's a phenomenal talent. I think he's very talented. He's going to be a good quarterback in the NFL. I think everybody's gripe about the nail thing is you can paint your nails all day long. Jared McCain paints his nails and has stellar games, and we can go down that list. But I think, for some people, they don't want, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Some people, they just don't want their CEO to have that kind of, I guess, fervor or that kind of mentality or whatever. So, again, just playing devil's advocate. I think he's phenomenally talented. I think he's going to be a good quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, listen, I mean, I don't want to belabor the point with the draft just because of the time difference with the show, but should be a fun draft there in Detroit. Switching gears to a game that is going to be happening again while we're on the air. Lakers Nuggets. And Brandon, and this is one of those things where my pre-series prediction was the Nuggets in five, and it pained me to say it, but it was what it was. I think that these two teams are competitive. They play good games, but the fact of the matter is the Nuggets are not only the more superior team, they are my pick to win it all this year. So whether they played them in the Western Conference Finals again or whether they played them in the first round, which was the luck of the draw for the Lakers, they're just not there. And the question was, you know, could they get one, two, or three games against Denver? We'll see. And they are favored tonight, surprisingly. But I think at some point you got to imagine – it's a home game. It's LeBron James. It's Anthony Davis. The Lakers led by 20 in game two. They led by 12 in game one. They're going to find a way to win it, right? Question mark? Nope, not really. Like, it could play out exactly like it's played out, where the Lakers play well. They got a lead. Again, for Brandon, we saw this in the Western Conference Finals, where they led in the fourth quarter in games two, three, and four. Didn't matter. They still got swept. If they don't win game three tonight, I think that they're going to get swept. Brandon, your thoughts? I mean, can they get one win against the Denver Nuggets?
Can they? Yes. Will they? I don't know. I mean, I was pretty optimistic in saying Denver in six. That's because I expected the Lakers to win one in Denver and one at home, basically. At the end of the day, it does not matter that this Denver team is a little bit worse than last year. Peyton Watson is not as good of a three-point shooter as Bruce Brown. That's a huge difference because we know what Bruce Brown did against the Lakers. Christian Brown is still obviously not a great three-point shooter either, and they had guys last year who would step up and do that for them. I just think like it's the Jamal Murray, Jokic pick and roll and the lack of adjustments that Ham made. I mean, Mike Malone said yesterday that he hasn't had to make adjustments because the Lakers haven't made adjustments to what they're doing, basically saying Ham doesn't know what he's doing. And Mike Malone, you know, Rosh, as Laker fans, you know, I think he's one of the best coaches in basketball. I wish he, you know, the Laker fan base does not like him because of the stuff he says about the Lakers, but he's an excellent coach. And at the end of the day, I think the Lakers need to do some soul searching this offseason and really ask themselves, how bad do we need an excellent coach? Because it's not a lack of talent. They have the talent, and everyone's always going to, when LeBron loses, everyone's going to say he doesn't have enough pieces around him. He does. That's not the issue. It's coaching. There's no way they should have blown a 22-point lead, especially, you know, going on a 5-minute stretch when the Nuggets went on their run without making a single shot. Yeah. Davis made attempting, I think, one to two shots in the second half after he was cooking Jokic in the first half of last game. These are all really red flags. And why do you do something again if you know it's going to be the same result? You keep doing it the same way. It's right. Going to be the same result. I mean, I would not be surprised if they're swept. In fact, I think long term, it might be better for the Lakers for them to get swept for major change. I think that might be better long term.
To your point, like, do you think at that, I mean, you've said this before that you think him is gone regardless. I mean, I think that's hot, that he's on the hot seat. I think if they get swept, he's gone. There was this feeling that, you know, if he gets them back to the Western Conference Finals, if they lose to Denver, but it's a great 7-game series, like, if you get swept and those last two losses happen on your home floor, it's going to be really hard to bring him back. I mean, if the Lakers get swept, to your point, is Ham gone?
Yeah, I don't know. There's that report that he's staying. I can't believe that. He cost the team 10 wins this year at least, yeah, himself. And I know it's a touchy subject with Laker fans because we have a different coach. Like, the Lakers have a different coach almost every 2-3 years, right? Like, that's kind of how it's been ever since Phil Jackson. Yeah. So at the end of the day, it's like you want to give a guy a chance. You want stability, but you also have to get the right guy. You know what I'm saying? And you just haven't gotten the right guy. I mean, Frank Vogel wasn't even the right guy. And I know Gihei loves him, but I think that the series
he won a championship. And I think he was scapegoated a little bit with, like, the trade that they made, by the way, that wasn't Frank Vogel. And I'll still say this, and I know that they made trades to correct it. You took a team, and again, we found out in time, and I talked to enough doctors, and they told me this in real time. Following the bubble championship, the league wanted to get course corrected and, like, get the schedule back to normal. In doing so, they gave them a 72-day, like, golf season. It was
horrible. It was
so. But what we saw, Brandon, is, like, look at the way the 2021 season played out. The Lakers get bounced in round one. I don't think, like, the Celtics, like, the teams that were in the conference finals, they either didn't make the playoffs or they got bounced in the first round. Like, they were just drained. They were tired. There was nothing left. 21 is the asterisk season for me. That season was so they, like, overreacted to that, and they broke up a championship team and a team that before they hit the wall, Brandon. So when did they hit the wall? LeBron goes down in March, and, like, KD went down, and at that point they had the second best record in the league or close to it. So I mean, Frank Vogel led that team to a championship in year one. Had them at the number, you know, two team in the league before they just hit the wall.
Yeah, no, I was just saying he was a great coach for them in 2020. I also think that was such a good roster. It didn't matter who coached that team personally. That's just my opinion. I mean, you still had LeBron in his prime. Like, he's not in his prime anymore. He's great now, but he's not in his prime. He's still in his prime. Davis had the best season of his career, especially in the playoffs. And Rondo was unreal in the playoffs. They had a great roster. This roster is not as good because LeBron is older and that's still your guy, right? Like, I'm not saying I do think Vogel is 10 times the coach Darvin Ham is. And I think if he was the coach of the Lakers right now, they would be tied 1-1 at least in the series. I 100% believe that. But my point there was, yes, it was not his fault that Westbrook got traded, but I don't think Vogel was ever like an elite guy for them. I think Jason Kidd was the guy they should have made the head coach. And now he's in Dallas. And I really still think Jason Kidd would be the perfect coach for them. And we're seeing Vogel right now, I mean, get completely outcoached by Chris Finch against the Timberwolves. So again, I'm not trying to, he'd be a dream compared to Darvin Ham, but I still don't think either of those guys, they have to really do soul searching and find the right coach because their roster is championship worthy. It really is. It's just, you're facing two of the best postseason, like a postseason duo, one of the best postseason duos in history in Jamal Murray and Jokic.
Gia, your thoughts on kind of changing the coach like every few years. And again, to Brandon's point, in 2019, they had a chance to hire Ty Lue. They did not. They allowed him to basically take the Clippers job. They had a chance to sign Kidd. They did something unique there where they basically brought on Vogel, but they made Kidd his top assistant. But I agree with Brandon. I mean, they have a head coach in place now, and I don't want to knock him because I think he's a fantastic top lieutenant. I think he's a good assistant coach. But in terms of a head coach, I'd rather have Ty Lue. I'd rather have Jason Kidd. I'd rather have Frank Vogel, quite frankly.
I mean, grass is always greener, right? Yeah. on the other side. I mean, with the exception of Frank, because Frank has actually proven himself to get you a chip. Call it in the bubble or not, who cares? It's still a championship, guys. Like, don't care that it was in the bubble. Anyways, but to your point, I mean, I prefer consistency, to be honest with you. I mean, I am a Duke fan, and Duke has only had two coaches in over 40 years. So for me, I would rather have that consistency and just figure out within what the problem might possibly be. I don't think changing coaches all the time is a great solution. But sometimes it works for the Lakers. I think, like, obviously the NBA is different than college, but it might work for the Lakers, right? I mean, you have, I mean, how many coaches did you have before Vogel and winning a title?
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, they've had their periods here where they are very, you go back to Mike Brown. I mean, I don't know if in league history we've ever seen a coach fired five games into a season. So, you know, this isn't the first time that they've really decided to move on from a coach. Again, not saying that they will. To Brandon's point, there are reports out there that the Lakers will stick with Ham. Again, if they get swept, I just think it's going to be so hard to do. You go on Twitter now. That fan base, the Lakers fan base, has really moved on from Darvin Ham. All right, wanted to switch gears here before we closed up shop today and get Jihei's thoughts on this. Brandon, as well, if you have any thoughts. The Los Angeles Kings tying up their series against the Edmonton Oilers 1-1. It was the throwback night. Jihei, Drew Doughty, Andre Kopitar with the game winner in the extra period. The Vegas Golden Knights, by the way, also showing the heart of a champion and also showing why these Stanley Cup playoffs, to G. Hayes' point, is the best postseason, where the number one seed is down 0-2 to the defending champions, the Vegas Golden Knights, after the return of their captain, Mark Stone. Those two series now switch locations to Vegas and Los Angeles. Jihei, real quick, starting off with the Kings. Again, it was throwback night. Danjay Kopitar and Drew Doughty having quite the game there.
I would just like to congratulate Drew Doughty on 17 goals in total as a defensive player, because that is rough. As a defensive player, you get the fact that he gets one is phenomenal. To get one in the postseason is so great. Congratulations, Drew. That's amazing. Congratulations on the win. It's incredible. It's great to steal one, right?
Yeah.
You always want to steal one when you're not home. It's always a plus. So they kind of looked, at least in the post-game interviews, when Drew was getting interviewed, it looked, at least his facial expression, looked like the job's not done kind of mentality, yeah. which I love. He's expecting, you know, that kind of performance out of Anze. I think a lot of people don't realize, like, first of all, these guys are tight. Like,
yeah.
they hang out a lot with one another. They're very close. And they just, I think they expect certain things out of one another. And that's what they expected. They expected Anze to, Kobe to make that last second shot. That assist, by the way, was phenomenal because it was right on the edge, right, of yeah. of the board. So I think credit has to be given all around to that team. They fought, man. They really, really fought. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't watch the third as closely until the very bitter end. I was going back and forth between Oklahoma City and the Kings. But when I was watching, they were up, what was it, like 3-0? And then all of a sudden it's 3-3. And then yeah. now it's 4-3. I just, what a phenomenal game. But this is why you love playoff hockey, right? Because you never know. It can take 30 seconds. It takes less than a second to score a goal. So congratulations to the Kings. Congratulations on stealing one. Bring it back to LA. Let's win two, because that would be phenomenal. And going to the Vegas Knights, there's nothing like playing in Vegas. So watch out for that. There's nothing like playing in Vegas. I mean, these fans are insanely rabid. Like, I mean, hockey fans in general are crazy, but like, especially in Canada. But Vegas fans take it to that entertainment level, but they also take it to that they really, truly care. They really, truly love their team. They love this team. And it definitely shows when you are just out and about in the streets of Vegas, even when you're local, right? You're yeah. in downtown, you're in Henderson, you're in all over Vegas, all over Nevada. Like, they just love their team. So there's nothing like playing in Vegas. It's going to be hard, I think, for the opposing team to get at least that third win in there. So I'm looking forward to it. I can't yeah. wait. And with Stone back too, it's going to be great.
So Brandon, like, I know the Ducks aren't in the postseason, but do you are you still tracking the playoffs? And again, by the way, the Ducks have a very good young core, and I got to imagine they're going to get a top three pick again. I think they'll be in the playoffs next year, hopefully.
Your lips to God's ears. They're rarely in the postseason. I mean, you can see the difference between that organization and the Kings, who are always in the postseason.
Yeah.
I have been watching the Kings. They have a lot of magic. I still think the Oilers are a bit better. I hate to say it. I hope for your guys' happiness the Kings win that series, but I would still say Oilers in six. I just think McDavid is so good. And he's got to win a cup at some point, right? Like, he's got to start going on a deep run. Like, what is his max been? The semifinals, I believe?
I think so.
Right? Like, yeah. He hasn't gotten to even a Stanley Cup final. So maybe this is the year.
Yeah. No, like, I think it's going to be a great series. Again, third time that they're playing in the postseason. The first time it went to seven games. Last year it went to six. To your point, Brandon, I think it's going to be another six or seven game series. But I don't think you're wrong. I think the Oilers are the better team. But yeah, for Connor McDavid to truly be in that conversation for best, and then when you look at him historically, he's got to get to one cup final. He's got to win one. We'll see if that happens. Hopefully it won't be this year, because hopefully the Kings find a way to win and advance. All right, that's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Currency chasing worldwide through the hard times, worrying faces, shed tears as we bury brothers close to heart. What was the